Okay, bye, Moshe.
Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Pei Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Pei Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Reish Lakish. As we had learned at the end of the previous shiur, Reish Lakish taught us that Oichal Hechila Gasa B'Yom Kippurim, somebody eats an excessive consumption on Yom Kippur, Potter. His Potter is not considered that he ate on Yom Kippur. Following that psak, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Reish Lakish, Zor she'ochel truma achila gasa, the zor eats truma and achila gasa, when normally the halacha is that a zor is certainly prohibited from eating truma, and if he eats truma b'shogig, he's chayiv, he's obligated to pay keren v'chaymish, the value of the truma plus an extra fifth. If he ate this truma in the achila gasa fashion, the halacha is mishalmas a keren, he still has to pay back the principal, then mishalmas a chaymish, but he doesn't have to pay the additional chaymish, because ki yoichel, the Torah in describing this act of eating, of a zar eating truma, uses the words ki yoichel prat lamazik. It comes to exclude that if it was eaten in a damaging way. Machlokes Rishonim, what does it mean damaging? Does it mean damaging to the truma? Does it mean damaging to the person who's eating it because he's eating it in a achila gasa fashion? Then there is no chiyuv to pay chaymish. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zar shekoyseis sa'irim shel truma. The zar eats, chews. Actually, as Rashi teaches us, whenever something is chewed raw, it's called kaisis. If a zar chews sa'irim of truma, mishalim is a keren, he has to pay the keren, ve'en mishalim is a chaymish, but he doesn't pay the additional chaymish. Again, for the same reason, kiyoichal, because the Torah, when describing this act of eating truma, uses the word kiyoichal, eating, prat lamazik, not when it's just damaged. Machloikis Rishonim, if when one eats tsoirim, if one chews raw tsoirim, what, if any, bracha does he make? The Avadram says that he doesn't make any bracha, and it's really based on what we just learned in the Gemara, because the Gemara just taught us that chewing barley, chewing raw barley, is not really considered eating, and therefore no bracha is made. The Rama paskins that a shahakal should be made, and yet other Rishonim say that a bari priya hadoma should be made. Similarly, there's a machlokes Rishonim, what would be the halacha if one were to chew wheat? The Rambam says that when one chews wheat, he has to pay a chaymish. The Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid says that not just when one chews barley do you not have to pay the additional chaymish, but the same din would be when one would chew wheat. And the basis of the machloikis is because since everyone agrees that when one chews wheat, a bari prihadom is made, so it's obvious, considered a regular fashion of eating, and therefore the Rambam says that since it's regular eating, it's oichel, one should pay the additional fifth. The Ravid says that even if one would still make the bari prihadom, that doesn't mean that it's a regular form of eating, and that's why the chaymish is not paid. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shizbi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zor shebala shezifim shatruma. If a zor swallowed plums of truma, v'hiki, and then he expelled them, v'ochlan acher, and then another person ate those plums, rishim shalom keren v'chaymish. The first one is considered that he ate it's a regular act of eating truma, where keren and chaymish have to be paid. Sheni, however, the second person, enim shalom elder may eitzim l'rishim bavad, he only has to pay the second person the value of these plums as firewood. So the way the Radvaz explains the Gemara is, since we're describing plums, small plums, that swallowing them whole is a normal way of eating, therefore the Gemara says if a zor eats the plums in such a manner, he's chayiv for eating truma. However, the second person when he eats these plums. So certainly if the plums were chewed up, they would be totally worthless and no longer edible and not considered anything, and the second person would eat them, he would not be chayiv at all. Here we're describing a situation where they were expelled whole, and since they were expelled whole, they are still edible, yet the second person eating them is not responsible to be paid for them as truma, because they are the two ways the Rishonim explain it. Once the first person ate them, he was kinder them, he acquired them, and they are no longer considered truma. Or another way the Rishonim explain that it loses the status of truma by the first person eating them, and therefore it doesn't have any of the regular halachas of truma. There's also a machlokes in the Mefarshim how this was expelled. Was it expelled from the mouth or from the other area in the body? We learned in the Mishnah that oichel v'shoisa, food and drink, aim at starfim, don't combine on Yom Kippur to be chayiv for one, to be chayiv for eating on Yom Kippur. Man Tana, who is the Tana that taught us this halacha, that different items do not combine? Says the Gemara, Amrav Chizda Machloikishnuya, this is really based on a machloikis in Masech de Me'ila, Rabbi Shua he, and it's going according to Rabbi Shua in Masech de Me'ila. The Tanan, Klal Amrav Yeshua, Rabbi Shua said Aloha, Kol Shetumosoi Veshuaroi Shava, whenever you have two items that they, the halachas of Tumah, both in the Tumosoi, that means how long the person, how much of a tuma will the person be? How long will he be tuma? For 7 days? Or will he be tuma only for 1 day? Vishurai. And how much of the item is necessary to transmit tuma? When both of those are equal, then it's tarif, then they can combine to complete the shear to have tuma. But if we have a situation of tumasai, that if the length of the time of tuma is identical, with the example would be, let's say you have a nevela and a kezayis, and a nevela and a sheretz. The both of them are tamei. The person that touches a nevela or the person that touches a sheretz could go to that mikveh to the day they touch it, and by night they will be tahor. But the shear is not the same. The shear of a nevela is a kezayis. The shear of a sheretz is adasha, or shiuroi. Sometimes you'll have the shear being the same, a nevela and a human being, a mace. Both of them, the shear is a kezayis v'loy tumasoi, but the duration of the tumah is not identical. For a person, when one touches a mace, he's tummy 7 days, and when touching a sheretz, when touching a nevela, it's 1 day. Or loy tumasoi v'loy shiuroi. When you have neither of them have anything in common, that means a mace and a sheretz, for example, aim at starfim, these two tumas don't combine. And like Tosfos Rit explains, although in that Mishnah Masechta Me'ila there is no other Tana mentioned, yet since the Mishnah identifies this as Rabbi Yeshua's law, it seems to be that the Rabbanan disagree. So too, says our Gemara, our Mishnah that says food and drink don't combine, is since food and drink don't have the same shear. Food, we said the shear is kaiseves on Yom Kippur. Beverages, we said the shear is kamloi lugmav. That's why they don't combine. Says Rav Nachman Amar afilotem Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yeshua in Masech de Me'ila could agree with the psak of our Mishnah. For at kan lo kamri Rabbanan hasam lenyan tumah. Regarding tumah, Rabbanan say different items can combine. The shame tumah chadi. We're talking about combination to achieve tumah. It makes no difference if they're not that similar. Aval hocha, in our sugya, regarding eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, mishum yisuve datahu, where the issue is causing this yishuv hadas, v'hai lemias v'date. If a person wants to eat and drink, and they don't combine to have yishuv hadas. V'chein amar eshlokish, v'machloikish nuya, The din of our Mishnah, that food and drink don't combine, is based on a machloikis, Rabbi Shuhi, and our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Shua, that Tanan, as we learn Klalam, Rabbi Shua, that things that are not the same don't combine. Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, Afil Tem Rabbanan, we could say that our Mishnah goes according to Rabbanan, because Ad Kalak Kam Rabbanan Hosam, Elen Yutumma, only going Tumma to the Rabbanan to say they don't combine. Avil Hochan, our Mishnah, and given that the issue is Yisuvidatihi, causing Yishuv Hadas, for high food and drink combining Loikam Yasvidata does not cause Yishuv Hadas. Tosfos makes an interesting observation. He says the Gemara Masechta, the Sanhedrin, and other places in Shas discusses if blood of two different corpses can combine for Tumah. As Tosfos, based on the Gemara that we just learned, where Rabbi Yeshua says when you have two items that are identical, they certainly combine for Tumah, so why is there a Shaila that the blood of two corpses should combine? So Tosfos explains, certainly when we have two corpses with blood, their blood would combine. Here, the Gemara's discussion is where we have each corpse to not even have by itself a revius of dam. And the question is, if we have one corpse that doesn't even have a revius of dam, and another corpse like that, could the combined blood of these two corpses combine? And Magen Avraham says that even though, as we're discussing, eat food and drink combining, so the question is, regarding a brach rachroina, says the Magen Avraham, perhaps only regarding Yom Kippur, where we're discussing Yishuv Hadas, food and drink won't combine. But regarding brach achroina, food and drink may combine to be mechuyev a brach achroina. Says the Mishnah, ochel v'shasa behel mechad. If somebody ate and drank in one period of not being aware, ein chayev al chatas achas, is only chayev one chatas. Whereas normally when people do different aveiras, for every aveira, a person is mechuyev a separate carbon chatos. Here, eating and drinking are really considered one and the same, and if they were done in one state of unawareness, he's only chayev one chatos. The Chochma Shleima, however, says that would only be in a situation where, as the Mishnah says, first ochal, he ate, and then v'shasa, he drank. Since that's the normal way people eat, they first eat and then they take some beverage to wash down the food. So we say that the drinking is really part of the eating. However, says the Chacham Shloimeh, if it would be shasa, the first the person drank and then ochal, he ate, which is not the normal fashion, people usually don't drink before they eat, then even for was behalam achad, perhaps they would not combine. The Sfasemis, the Shailameshif, ask the following question. Our Mishnah is saying that if somebody ate and drank with one haloma, he's only chayv one chattas. What would be if it would be in two halomas? Let's say the person ate at 10 o'clock because he wasn't aware, he forgot it's Yom Kippur. Then he realizes it's Yom Kippur. And then he forgets again. And at 12 o'clock, he eats again. That's a second haloma. He would be chayv two chattas. Ask these mefarshim. As we've been explaining, on Yom Kippur, the crucial element is Yishuv Hadas, because the pasuk, as we will learn in the next sugya, speaks about Loisuna, won't afflict himself on Yom Kippur. So they ask, once the person ate on Yom Kippur one time, he's already not in a status of Suna. He's not in the status of Inui anymore this day. So even if he'll eat later, although it's a separate Haloma, why is he Chayiv? Sfas Emes answers that although the Torah speaks about Inui, that doesn't mean that Echila is Mutter. The Torah maybe couches it in the terminology of Inui, but the Torah means to teach us that Echila is also on Yom Kippur. So if there were two separate Echilas, because they were separated, the two separate Halomas, the person's Chai for every Echila. The Shoyle Meshiv answers based on the Gemara we learned in the previous year. The Gemara said that the Gemara questioned, how could there be one shear of Yisuvei Datei for someone as large as Oig Melech HaBashan and for a regular person? So the Gemara explained that the Chazal determined that that is Yishuv Hadas for everyone. So some people have Yishuv Hadas, more Yishuv Hadas, and some people have less Yishuv Hadas. And we explained, what does the Gemara mean? That there are two components to eating to Yishuv Hadas. There's one, that when the person eats, that moment of eating, that makes no difference what size the person is. And then there's another element to Yishuv Hadas, how quick does the person get hungry? A bigger person may get hungry quicker than a regular person. So since, based on that Gemara, says the Shulam Hashif, every time you eat, you have a new Yishuv Hadas. And therefore, for every achila, if it was separated by haloma, there's a separate chiyuv chatas. Aval, says the Gemara, ochal v'asa melacha, if somebody ate and did melacha, there, chayv shtei chatas, and if he did both of them on Yom Kippur, it's chayv tu chatas, because eating and doing melacha are two separate things. However, explains the Marcheshevs, there are two types of halomis on Yom Kippur. One could be that the person indeed realizes that today is Yom Kippur, but he doesn't know you're not allowed to eat, he doesn't know you're not allowed to do melacha. That is the case, says the Marcheshevs, where our Mishnah tells us that the person will be chayiv for each thing separately. But let's say, says the Marcheshevs, that all of the errors that the person made on this Yom Kippur, that he ate, that he did melacha, all stem from the fact that he doesn't realize that today is Yom Kippur. So it's really one error. It's the one error that he doesn't know that today is Yom Kippur. And therefore, even though there's two separate issues on the table, achila and asiyas melacha, he will be chayiv only one chatas. The Mefarshim discuss on Yom Kippur, if a person does many different melachas, what will be the din? The Tzlach says that just like on Shabbos, if a person does separate melachas, he's chayiv each melacha separately, so too is the din on Yom Kippur. However, the Shar HaMelech says that Yom Kippur is different than Shabbos, and that on Yom Kippur, if a person does many melachas, he'll only be chayiv one chatas. Continues the Mishnah, Ochel ochlin she'enu ruin l'achila, if he ate food that's not really edible, v'shosa mashkim she'enu ruin l'shtiyah, or he drank liquids that aren't really fit for drinking, v'shosa tzora mirius, or he drank fish brine or fish fats. There are a number of explanations in the Mefarshim what tzora mirius is, but generally the general explanation all follow the same concept that tzor is what is just pure fat or brine of the fish, and murius has pieces of fish in it, but they're all just, these are foods that just used as a dip, they're not eaten straight. Potter, he's not chai for kabam chattis. So the Torah has a discussion, the Torah Beis Yosef has a discussion, what is the halacha when eating non-foods that are not really edible? And he says, certainly midrabonon, even food that are not royal achila, royal ishtiya, one is chayiv for eating them on Yom Kippur. There's a machloikus rishonim midrabonon. There's a machloikus rishonim, if a person ate less than the shear, what is the halacha? Davi Ezri says that even less than the shear is also midrabonon, and Davi Rav Yoh says that if it's less than the shear and it's also oichlin shen ruin lachila and mashkin shen ruin l'shtiya, then there is no chayiv midrabonon either. In learning the psukim in the parasha of Yom Kippur in the Torah, we find that there is no explicit pasuk that teaches that there's a lav to eat on Yom Kippur. The Torah says there's a chiv karis if one chas v'shalom eats. There's a mitzvah say of inui of not to eat, but there is no lav. Reish Lakish, the Reish Lakish asks, "Mipnei mal loy nemra as harav inui? Why is there no explicit lav?" So he answers, Mishum Deloy Efshar. There is no proper language how to put the lav in the Torah. Because Heichi Nichtav, what should the Torah have said? Nichtav Rachmona Lo Yoichel. Should the Torah have said, don't eat? Achila b'kazayis. Whenever it says the word Achila, means a kazayis. And as we've been learning, the Shir on Yom Kippur is not a kazayis, it's a kesevis. Nichtev rachman alaysuna. If the Torah should said, do not be afflicted, well, mean kumachamashva, which means go eat, which is, of course, the opposite of what the Torah meant. The Torah doesn't want to steal on Yom Kippur. Maskler Ravashi. So Ravashi says, nichtev rachmana. What the Torah should have said is, hishomer, be careful, pen, perhaps to make sure loisuna that you don't, that you remain afflicted, that you do not be not afflicted. Answers the Gemara, that isn't an option because imkein nefishelu lavim, we would have two lavim because both the word hishomer and the word pen represent lavim. We're only looking that there should be one lav for eating. Not the Torah did not want to say that there should be two lavim for eating Yom Kippur. Maskler Rabbi Abaya, nechte rechmana. Hishomer b'mitzvas inui. The Torah should be vigilant to be in a status of inui. Answers the Gemara. We have a rule. Imkein hishomer d'lav lav, hishomer d'asei asei. The word hishomer does not necessarily mean a lav. It matters in which context it's being used. If it's being used in the context of a lav, it indeed means a lav. But if it's being used in the context of a mitzvah asay, it's an asay. If we would say shomer mitzvah anui, inui, which is an essay telling us to do something, that would mean a hishomer is teaching us an essay. Again, not what we're trying to accomplish. Maskefloy Ravashi, nichtav atosum inuni. The Torah should say one should be careful not to remove himself from being an inui. Says the Gemara Kasha, that is a Kasha, the Gemara could have used, the Torah could have used that language. And as we've said many times, there's a difference when the Torah uses the word, when the Gemara uses the word Tiyufta, versus when the Gemara uses Kasha. Tiyufta means that there is no answer to the question. Kasha means that there is an answer, just the Gemara didn't mention it. So the Tosfos Yom Kippurim says, what's the answer the Gemara could have said here? If the Torah would have used the words, it would seem to indicate that one should be in Inui before Yom Kippur. And the Torah says is, be in Inui from before Yom Kippur, and then be careful to remain in that status throughout. But as we will learn in Amud Beis, that the halacha is just the opposite. And Erev Yom Kippur, one must eat. So that's why the Torah couldn't have used the language of Hishomer, of Loisosum and Atosum and Inui. But as we've explained, there is no explicit in the pasuk in the Torah that tells us that there's a lav for inui. But throughout Shas, we know that there's a root klal, an unshim elam kem hashirim. That even if the Torah tells us that something is also a chiv karis or a different einish, there has to be a lav. So where is the lav that for inui on Yom Kippur? Says the Gemara, v'tani. The Tana, which is this Gemara picks up in the middle of a Braisa, brings a raya from the following din. The pasuk says, "V'nisem es nafshaseichem." The Torah says, "On Yom Kippur, we should be in a state of inui, become alacha loisasu." And as we will learn, on Yom Kippur, there's a din of toisvus Yom Kippurim. One has to add to Yom Kippur both on erev Yom Kippur. He has to begin Yom Kippur before the actual day Yod Tishrei begins, and so too Matzah Yom Kippur. Yochel Yei Onish Atosus Malacha. One would think that there's a Chiv Karis if one does Malacha during that period of Tosus Yom Kippurim. Tamaloymer V'chal Nefesh Shetas Malacha B'etzem Hayom Zeh. To teach us all that Suma Shayom Onish Karis, there's a Chiv Karis if one does Malacha during Yom Kippur. V'ein Onish Karis Atosus Malacha, but there is no Chiv Karis if one does Malacha in the period of Tosus Yom Kippurim. One would think that there is no chiv karis for doing melacha during this period of Taisus Yom Kippurim. One is mechayiv karis if he doesn't fast during that time. There's only chiv karis if one eats during Yom Kippur. But there is no chiv karis if one eats during the period of Taisus Yom Kippurim. And I would think that there is no chiv karis eating if one does malacha in that Tosfos Yom Kippurim time, Aviyei Muzer Tosfos Malacha, that there's a chi of lav, and he will get malchus if he does malacha during that time. Tamaloyim v'cham malacha loisasu be'etzem yom hazeh, al tzuma sheyom hu muzer, there's only a lav for doing malacha during Yom Kippur proper. But there is no chiyav lav for doing malacha during that extra period. One would think that there is no chiyav lav for doing malacha during that extra period. But there is a lav if one eats during that extra period. V'dinhu. So the Gemara says, I could prove to you logically that's not correct. Uma malacha. If malacha, shnei heges b'shabosoyis v'yom tovim, well, one may not do malacha in any Shabbos and any yontif, still ain't a muzer aleha. We're saying there's no lav incurred if one does malacha during the period of Tosfos Yom Kippurim. Inui, so the fasting, she'ain't no heges b'shabosoyis v'yom tovim, well, one doesn't have to fast on a regular Shabbos and yontif. Certainly, ain't a din shlei muzer lav. There is no lav for eating in the period of Tosfos Yom Kippurim. Avalas hora l'inui shel yom atzmei leil madnu, but we still have not identified a lav for eating on Yom Kippur. Menayin, so how do we know that there's such a lav? Says the Gemara, lo yomer oynish b'malacha. There really is no reason for the Torah to explicitly tell us that there's a chi of karis if one does malacha on Yom Kippur. The Gomer Me'inu, because learn the Oynish for doing malacha, for the Oynish for eating. Because Ma'inu, She'enu Noheges B'Shabbos V'Yom Tovim. If Inu, which doesn't apply to every Shabbos and Yom Tov, if one eats Chas V'Shalom on Yom Kippur, Oynish Karis, he gets Karis. Malacha She'Noheges B'Shabbos V'Yom Tovim. So malacha that does apply to every Shabbos and Yom Tov, like Koshkein, certainly if one does Malacha Chas V'Shalom Yom Kippur, he gets Chiv Karis. Salam Anamar! Why did the Torah have to explicitly tell us that there's a Chiv Karis for doing Malacha Yom Kippur? Mufna, it's really extra. L'hakash Uladu Men Gzeres Shava, to use it to teach us Gzeres Shava, the Nema Oynish B'Inui, that if the Torah teaches us that there's a Chiv Karis by Inui, v'nema einish b'malacha, and there's a chiv karis for doing malacha, ma malacha by malacha like einish lom ken hizr, there's explicit pasuk teaching us that there's a lav for doing malacha, as we just learned, v'kam malacha like sasu be'etzem hayom hazeh, af inui, even though it isn't explicit, we could assume like einish lom ken hizr that there is a lav involved for eating in Yom Kippur. The Sikh Yitzchak asks that we have a klal, ein onshim and adin, that we can't learn a chiyuv from a kavachomer, a lav from a kavachomer, yet here we're trying to. So he answers either that the Gemara is going according to Mandom that says that we can use a kavachomer to teach such a din, or that here we really know that inu is asr, for the Torah explicitly says there's a chiyuv karis if one eats a Yom Kippur. Since we know it's asr, it's just that we need to identify a lav. For that, we could use a kavachomer. Because ikla mifrach. So the Gemara says, but this kavachomer that we wanted to learn malacha from inui can be refuted. Mal inui shleit mechlala. There's never a heta to eat on Yom Kippur. Time of malacha shut mechlala. Malacha may be done on Yom Kippur, as we learned at the large part of the first part of this masechta, that all the avoid in the Beis Hamikdash involved malacha and was yet mutter on Yom Kippur. So Mefarshim ask, inui also there are hatayrim for. If somebody's sick, he's allowed to eat. We learned the Mishnah that the ish iti, the person who walked the sor lazozel out, by every sukkah they stopped him, they told him, harimayim, harimozen, if you need to eat, you could eat. So why are we saying that there is no hatayr for eating? So Mefarshim explained there's a fundamental difference. Malacha lechatchila, we're allowed to do malacha in the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Kippur. You're supposed to do the malacha. However, eating, yes, if a person chas v'shalom is sick, he's allowed to eat. If the person taking out the azazel needed to eat, he was allowed to eat. But of course, it was not something that was lechatchila to be done. So you can't say that's huta mechlala. Ela, so the Gemara attempts to learn it this way. La yomer There's no reason for the Torah to tell us there's a chiv karis for eating, because we can learn from malacha. Ma malacha shut mechlala. If malacha, which can be done on Yom Kippur, the avoid in the base of Migdash, onish karis, if one does malacha, is chayv karis. Inu shaloi hut mechlala. So inu, as we just explained, there's never a hetel chatchila to eat on Yom Kippur. Like Koshkin, certainly there's a chiv karis. Laman nemer. Why did the Torah explicitly tell us a chiv karis if one eats? Mufna, it remains open. Lahakash Lodim men Gzereshava, the teacher's Gzereshava. Nema Onish for Inui. The Torah speaks about the Chiv Karis for Inui. Vednema Onish for Malacha. The Torah talks about a Chiv Karis if one does Malacha on Yom Kippur. Ma Malacha Onish for Hizr. But Malacha, there's an Onish and there's a Lav. Af Inui Onish for Hizr. Says the Gemara that Kavachayim could also be refuted. Ikla Mifrach. Mala Malacha. Shekain and the Hegas b'Shabbos v'Yom Tovim. Malacha has a stringency that applies to every Shabbos v'Yom Tov. Tarmer be'inui shein and the Heg b'Shabbos v'Yom Tovim. Whereas inui doesn't apply to every Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we're back to where we started. How do we know that there's a lav for inui Yom Kippur? Amr Ravina hay tana etzem etzem gomer. He learns a gzeres shava of etzem. Etzem, the Torah uses the word etzem regarding inui. The Torah uses the word etzem regarding malacha to connect them and say, just like there's a chiv lav by malacha, so too by inui. Says the Gemara Mufna, there must be at least one of these times that the Torah uses the word etzem, it should be extra. Because the ilai mufna, if it isn't extra, ikla mifak rebechinu, could ask a question. Because as the Gemara tells us a number of times, a gzeres shava, if both words are needed anyway, if there's a kash on that gzeres shava, the gzeres shava is refuted and falls away. Only if at least one word is superfluous, even if there'll be a kash on the gzeres shava stands. So here too, as we've learned, there are kashes on comparing malacha to inui, so this gzeres shava must have the word one word extra. Says the Gemara la'ai, indeed, afnui mufna, one, the word etzem is extra. Because chamisha kroy ksiv malacha, the Torah tells us five times one may not do malacha yom kippur. Chal azar di mam, want to teach it that you not do malacha by day. Chal azar di laila, want to teach it to lav that you not do malacha at night of yom kippur. Chal oynish di mama, want to teach us that if one does malacha by day is chayiv karis. Chal oynish di laila, and want to tell us if one does malacha at night is chayiv karis. Chad Lafnui, and one is indeed extra, lemigma inu malacha, to teach, to learn inu from malacha, both the inu, the imam of the laila, and that's how we know there's a lav for inu. Ask the Tosfos Arash, why do we need separate psukim for yoyim v'laila, for day and night? Throughout halacha, day and night in the Jewish calendar is one day. So he answers, since the Torah here uses the word, keeps on using the word, the etzem hayom hazeh, so I would think that the din of doing, of not doing malacha yom kippurim only applies be etzem hayom hazeh during the day of Yom Kippur. That's why we need extra psukim for day and night. The Beir Shmuel Tana, there's a Beir Shmuel taught a different source to teach us that there's a chiv, that there's a issa lav to eat on Yom Kippur. For inui, nemekan inui, the Torah uses the word inui regarding Yom Kippur. Nemelahalan inui, the Torah speaks about the word, uses the words inui regarding the raping of a nara hamarasa. Malahalan loy anishlom kenhizer, just like there is a lav for doing that avera, afkan loy anishlom kenhizer, there's a lav for eating on Yom Kippur. Vach by Yaakov Amar, he brings a different pasuk. Yal of Shabbos, Shabbos Bereishis. We can learn a gzeres shava between Yom Kippur, Shabbos Bereishis means regular Shabbos. Ma'alahan lo anishlom kenhizer, by every Shabbos, there's a lav if somebody does malacha. Afkan lo anishlom kenhizer, here too, on Yom Kippur, if one eats, he's over a lav. Rapapa follows a different track altogether. Hu gufei Shabbos ikri. Yom Kippur is called Shabbos. Tiksiv, as the pasuk says, Tishbesu Shabbatchem. So since Yom Kippur is called Shabbos, So that's how we know that all the halach, that just like by Shabbos, where there's a lav, so too everything regarding Yom Kippur is included under a chi of lav. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rapapa, le'amak Rav Achba Yaakov. Rapapa did not want to follow Rav Achba Yaakov, the kraw the ksib begufei odav. Instead of learning Zeru Shavus, he takes a pasuk in the parasha of Yom Kippur itself. El Rav Achba Yaakov, my tam le'amak Rapapa. Why didn't Rav Achba Yaakov learn like Rav Papa? And the Marai Mesoda asks, the Gemara could have said a different reason why Rav Papa didn't agree with Rav Achba Yaakov. The rule is that ain odem don gzeres shava me'atzmai. A person can learn a gzeres shava by himself. So he couldn't have just said Rav Achba Yaakov's gzeres shava if he never heard that gzeres shava from his Rebbe. So the Marai Mesoda says that everything we're learning certainly involves comparing the inyan of inui to the inyan of malacha. The only question is, how do we fit it in? But everybody had a basis of a kal of gzeres shava. But the question is, why didn't Rav Achba Yaakov learn it from the words Tishbesu Shabbatchem? So he says, because Rav Achba Yaakov needed those words for something else. The pasuk says, V'nishas nafshasechem tishrei l'chodesh. A person should begin afflicting himself on the ninth day of Tishrei. So Yochel, if I would learn the pasuk, I would think, Yaschel v'yis'ana b'tishrei. A person has to fast already on the ninth day of Tishrei, in Erev Yom Kippur. Tamaloyim be'erev, only in the evening. E be'erev, if I only had that pasuk, I would say Yochel m'shetechshav. Only once Yod b'tishrei begins at night. Tamaloyim b'tishrei, already on the ninth. Ha'keitzad, maschil u'mis'ana m'boyjoyim. A person has to begin fasting already Tosfos Yom Kippurim on the ninth. Mikan shemesifim mechol al kodesh. But that only teaches us before Yom Kippur begins. How do we know that the same din applies at the end of Yom Kippur? At Erev is included. The night of Yom Kippur, also the night after Yom Kippur, going into Yud Aleph Tishrei, one still has to fast Tosfos Yom Kippur. And like the Gevurah Sari explains, we know that throughout Shas, there's a shaila of ad v'loy ad b'chlal. This Gemara seemingly clearly holds ad v'ad b'chlal. So he explains that even a man the omer that normally holds ad v'loy ad b'chlal, we'll say here that we say ad v'ad b'chlal. Since we see that before Yom Kippur one has to expand Yom Kippur, the same din will be motz Yom Kippur. V'enli el Yom Kippurim, I only know this din of Tosfos Yom Kippur, Tosfos by Yom Kippur, Shabbos is Menayin. How do you know that this din applies by every Shabbos? Tamalayim and Tishbesu. Only Ela Shabbos is. I only know regarding Shabbos is Yom Tovim Menayim. How do we know by all Yom Tovim one also must add Tamalayim and Shabbatchem? Kol Kaitzed, Kol Mokum Shnei Mishvus. Whatever the Torah says, rest, don't do work. Mesifim Mechol Hakodesh. One has to expand. So the Mishnah Brura, and that's the halacha. There's a halacha of Tosfos Yom Kippurim. Most Rishonim learn that Tosfos Yom Kippur is a deraisa. There's a question how to understand what the Rambam says, but again, there certainly is a chiv of Tosfos Yom Kippurim. And the Mishnah Brura says in the name of Chaya Adam that this amount of Tosfos together with Bein Hashmoshes, anyway, we have to treat it as if it's already Yom Kippur, comes out to be about a half an hour. There is a shaila if this din that we're discussing about Tosfos Yom Kippurim, one has to accept Tosfos Yom Kippurim or it happens automatically. The Shaila of Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi says that person should be mekabel once in his life explicitly Tosfos Yom Kippurim, and then he doesn't have to do it every year. The Mikra Kodesh notes that in the Tefillah Zakah that we say at the beginning of Yom Kippur when we come to Shul, person says, Hareini Mekabel al Atzmi, and by being Mekabel on himself, that's how he's Mekabel on himself, Tosfos Yom Kippurim. The Shulchan Aruch Rav makes the following distinction. He says, a couple of moments before Yom Kippur is automatically Tosfos Yom Kippurim, even without one explicitly accepting it upon himself. However, he says, the time, if one wants to expand that time and have more Tosfos Yom Kippurim, that he has to explicitly be Mekabel. Not as a Shaila that the Tzofnes Paneach and Mechas Yitzchak discuss. The Chiv of Tosfos Yom Kippurim, is it an independent obligation or is it connected to Yom Kippur? The Shaila would be relevant. Let's say there's a boy who's becoming Bar Mitzvah on Yom Kippur. So on Tisha B'Tishrei, on 9 days in Tishrei, he's not yet Bar Mitzvah. That's the time of Tosfos Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, he is already Bar Mitzvah. Or, if there's a boy who's becoming Bar Mitzvah, Yud Aleph Tishrei. So on Yom Kippur, he wasn't a Bar Mitzvah. He wasn't obligated, certainly Midaraisa, to hold Yom Kippur. However, Yud Aleph Tishrei, he's already Bar Mitzvah. What is his status? The Shaila is based, is Tosfos Yom Kippurim an extension of Yom Kippur, and therefore we look, if the person is mechuyev in Yom Kippur, he's mechuyev in Tosfos Yom Kippurim, and if he's not mechuyev to observe Yom Kippur, he's not mechuyev in Tosfos Yom Kippurim, or is Tosfos Yom Kippurim a separate din? So the Mechas Yitzchak says, it really depends how we learn the halacha of Tosfos. If we learn it from the fact, as we spoke about the Brisa, and we'll see it soon more, that the Torah speaks about Etzem, and it's not, the Torah is telling not only Yom Kippur, but it goes past Yom Kippur, or as we just learned the pasuk of Anisim Esnaf Shechem, Betisha L'Chaydish. So there, or we could perhaps learn it from Shemitah. Says the Mechas Yitzchak, that if we learn it from Etzem, that means that the Torah is telling us that there is a chiyuv of Tosfos Yom Kippurim, just there is no chiyuv einish. That the Torah is teaching us, that the chiyuv of Tosfos Yom Kippurim is connected to Yom Kippur. And therefore we have to see if this person was mechuyev to observe Yom Kippur. But if on the other hand we're learning it from Anishim Esnaf Shaseichem B'Tisha L'Chodesh, or we learn it from Shemitah, where the Torah said Becharetz or Bekatz or Tishbais, to teach us that there's a specific chiyuv of Tosfos, then it's a separate chiyuv and not connected to the person's obligation to keep Yom Kippur or not. Ask the Gemara, the Tana, according to the Tana the Brais that we quoted, the Etzem, that he explained that we notice Tosfos Yom Kippurim. How do we know that there's a chiyuv Tosfos Yom Kippurim? Since the Torah had to say that there is no chiyuv einish, there is no chiyuv lav on Tosfos Yom Kippurim, but there is that teaches us that there is a Tosfos Yom Kippurim, just no einish or lav. Hi, but Tish L'Chaydish may avad lei. What will he do with the pasuk of Tish V'Chaydish? Says the Gemara, B'boy lei l'chiratani Rav Chi Barabi Difti. He needs it to teach us what Rav Chi Barabi Difti taught us. The Tani. The pasuk says Venetian is not Sech Batisha. The pasuk says we should fast on 9 days in Tishrei. The question is Bechi Batisha Masanim, do we fast on 9 days for Leib Esa Masanim? We fast on the 10th of Tishrei on Yom Kippur. Eloi Malach to teach us Kala Oichel V'Shoyes B'Chi, whoever eats and drinks on the 9th of Tishrei, Ma'alav Akosav Kilas Ana Chiva Siri. The Torah compares it to as if he fasted on 9th and 10th. And the Sfasema says, because the Torah is showing us that the person who's fasting on 9 days in Tishrei is considered not just like did what Hashem said, it's considered like he fasted. And therefore, we say vidui on the mincha of Erev Yom Kippur because we're fasting that day. And the Mefarshim explained further why it's considered like fasting. Because when one fasts, he's in a constant state of fasting. By eating, nobody's in a constant state of eating. So therefore, you can't say that he's eating constantly. That's why the Torah tells us that if one eats, even if he isn't eating every minute, every second of the Erev Yom Kippur, he's considered like he's fasting. Just like his fasting is constant, so too is eating constant. And the Imri Emes says, why? Because the Torah is trying to teach us that a hachana for mitzvah, a preparation for mitzvah, is so very important. So there are very many pshatim that were said why one has to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Rashi says that the person should be prepared and have the proper power, the energy to fast on Yom Kippur. The other Mefarshim say just the opposite. By eating on Erev Yom Kippur and then stopping, it shows that it's much harder to fast, and it shows our preparation to fast, that even though it's so much hard to fast, we will fast. Others say, Rosh says, it shows us how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, that even though he told us to fast, he tells us to eat, that we should be able to fast properly. Another pshat that the Rabbeinu Yonah says, that it shows how happy Klal Yisrael are when they approach Yom Kippur, because they realize it will be a time that they will have a mechila and a kapara and all the averis. The Beis Yosef says that Yom Kippur is a yontif, and on a yontif we know there's a chiyuv to eat, but we can't eat on Yom Kippur, so eating erev Yom Kippur is the suda of Yom Kippur. Other mefarshim explain that the tzedakim would explain the pasuk that you have to actually fast on erev Yom Kippur, because they always follow the literal pshat in the pasuk, and therefore we want to show that we're not like the tzedakim, and that we eat on Yom Kippur not the way they explain. Another pshat that the Rebbeinu Yonah brings is that really a person would want to not eat on Yom Kippur, an Erev Yom Kippur. How could a person eat on Erev Yom Kippur when he knows that it's the eve of such an important great day? If the person eats anyway, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of him, to eat, he shows what a person he is, and that's why the Torah wants him to eat. Now, based on all of these explanations that we gave, which all seem to be a drush homiletic explanations that are really relevant lahaloch lemaisa for many shailas. One shaila is, if a woman mechuyev to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. We know women are exempt from mitzvah saseh shezman groma. Is this a mitzvah saseh shezman groma? If we say that it's a preparation for Yom Kippur, no matter how we say it, whether to be able to fast, or in the other case to say to make it harder to fast, or all those other pshatim, then women who are obligated to fast on Yom Kippur would be obligated to eat on Yom Kippur. On the other hand, if we say that it's a separate chiyuv, the different reasons that it's a sudas yontif, or the other reasons that we gave, that women are part of mitzvah seishes man grama. The shaila would also be how much one has to eat and what one must eat on Erev Yom Kippur. If the chiyuv to eat is just as a preparation, so just like eating on Yom Kippur, the shir is a kesevis, one, as the Mechzchinuch says, would have to eat a kesevis on Erev Yom Kippur. If it's just a mitzvah of a suda, so just like the chiyuv is always to eat a kezayis, here too one would only have to eat a kezayis. Similarly, what one must eat. If it's an issue to eat, to be full, to be prepared, so whatever you eat, just prepare yourself. If there's a chiyuv suda, one has to eat bread. There's machloikis, when does the time of eating begin? The Shibulei Leket says that it already begins on the night before. The Gra says that it begins only on the morning of Yom Kippur. There's a shaila, if the Steichemet brings, if we're saying that there's such a mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur, why don't we make a bracha for eating? So the Steichemet answers that any mitzvah where it's not obvious that the person is being mekayim a mitzvah, one doesn't have to make a bracha. It's not obvious when one eats that he's being mekayim a mitzvah, and that's why he doesn't have to eat. One more shaila, which Rabbi Kivega discusses, what would be the halacha if somebody knows that he's not going to be fasting on Yom Kippur? He's sick. Would he have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Again, the question depends. If he has, is the chiyuv of eating a separate chiyuv mitzvah, or is it just a preparation for yontif? Rabbi Kivega says Erev Yom Kippur is a yontif. It's a big yontif, and everybody, even the person who chas v'shalom won't be able to fast on Yom Kippur, should eat on Erev Yom Kippur.